Jerry Pippin, and we are at the International UFO Museum and Research Center, your home territory, Dennis Balthizer.
Tonight I have the honor of moderating the Sci-Fi Channel dig panel discussion, which back in September of last year, they went up to the crash site up near Corona, New Mexico, and the Sci-Fi Channel sponsored the dig with the University of New Mexico archaeological team, Dr. Dolman, two of the well-known researchers from Roswell, and a few volunteers, and spent about 4 or 5 days doing the dig. Tonight we'll have a panel discussion by those participants and then open it up to questions to the public. I believe they have another one coming up in October, and they're also working currently on trying to get Congress to disclose some of the information on this subject.
Can you give us a little preview of some of the new things they're developing, or is it still going to be a secret till October?
As far as I know, it's still a secret. All I know is that the Sci-Fi Channel has made some moves towards getting Congress to disclose and open up some of the information that they've had under lock and key for so many years. I think there's a lot of problems with getting it accomplished. One is it's a political disaster for any politician to admit that he knows anything about UFOs. Secondly, I don't know who in our government would admit to lying to us for 56 years. It's going to be a kind of egg-on-your-face thing once they do that. If they admit to lying about Roswell or UFOs, then they have a lot of other things they're going to have to admit to also, probably.
Now, you've lived in Roswell for a while now, former Texas boy.
Since 96, I retired from the Texas Department of Transportation in 1996 and moved up here to pursue my interest in ufology, which goes back about 20 years. We continue to look at the Ramey photograph of General Ramey in his office in 1947. That teletype he was holding, he didn't know it at the time, but the type on that teletype was facing the camera, and we're starting to analyze that, and we're pretty much in agreement now that the words "victims of the wreck" is on that teletype. And to our knowledge, none of the weather balloons in the history of the United States had victims. The other thing that we're looking at is we have some new witnesses, which I can't disclose much on, but we do have some new names that we're looking into.
What about this fellow down in El Paso? Supposedly has a couple of pictures of...
Yeah, I've heard about him, but I haven't been in contact with him.
I can't seem to track him down either.
He's hard to find. There's a couple of his researchers looking at trying to get a hold of him, but so far we haven't been able to.
As far as your own impressions since you've been here now, what, 7 years? What do you think really happened out there?
I have no doubt that something extremely important took place in the high plains here, 60 miles from Roswell in 1947. I can't actually say what it was. I'm pretty well convinced it didn't belong to the United States, didn't belong to Russia, so I want to know who it belonged to. But I can say that my own personal theory is that whatever came down and they have recovered, they still don't know what they have. And if they don't know what they have, they're certainly not going to go public with it until they get the military benefits out of it. There's nothing in our daily life that we use that the military hasn't already used, so this would be no different. And we don't want anybody knowing what we have if it's something that has military advantages.
This is Jerry Pippin. We're talking with Dennis Balthizer here in Roswell, New Mexico. Dennis, you were up in Aztec a year ago, I think, and you're kind of an expert on subterranean bases as well, and there's supposed to be one up here.
There's talk of one being up at Dulce, New Mexico, where they're maybe even doing some biogenetic testing underground. It's on the Jicarilla Apache Indian Reservation. It's extremely hard to get access to the place. I was going to do a trip up there with another researcher from North Carolina, and he called me and said he's out of the business. He said he's tired of the threats him and his wife have been receiving. He said he thinks it'd be best if we just forgot about Dulce. I'm not going to forget about Dulce. I want to know what's up there. It's just like the Roswell thing. The Air Force gives a static, but I'm not going to be intimidated by the Air Force because I'm paying their salary. And until they understand who pays their salary, I think we deserve some answers.
Well, now, you've had a little intimidation yourself up in Stillwater, Oklahoma. We've had that on the air before.
Yeah, the interception back in 97, I went after a piece of metal and had it all set up, confidentiality, and got over to Stillwater. And when I got there, I couldn't make contact. And then I was contacted by a man and woman, said, meet him at Denny's restaurant at 7 o'clock. So I walked in, and a man and woman came in. He said, are you Dennis? I said, yeah. He said, the gentleman you plan on meeting won't be here. I said, who are you? He said, we're special agents of the United States Air Force. Spent 3.5 hours with him. They had my phone tapped, and he said he knew Monday I'd be there Friday. So it's a game we play with these guys, but sooner or later, we're going to win the game.
The UFO Museum is breaking all kinds of records. There's no admission charge. You make a donation.
Yeah, the museum is funded strictly by donations in the gift shop. They have probably the largest gift shop in the world. And they also have a really good research library here. But I think what most of your listeners don't know is the biggest research library in the world on UFOs is in the Vatican in Rome. The Catholic Church has the biggest UFO library in the world. We have one of the biggest, but ours is also a good one. We have a lot of the documents, a lot of the books that we received over the years, and we have a tremendous amount of displays, a lot of information. So anybody that gets in the neighborhood of Roswell, come by and see us.
Can you account for the interest of the Catholic Church in UFOs?
I think it's protection. They're trying to protect themselves, because if this goes public and can be proven, then it's going to change history. It's going to change the religions, what we've been taught. It's going to change the financial markets. It's going to change governments. Everything we've ever been taught is going to have to be altered, because we are no longer the only thing in the universe. I think it's Stanton Friedman that was talking about the education, the technology that they must have to get here in the first place, and that human beings are trying to get into the preschool of the universe. We can't get there, but if they can get here, then they obviously have technology and knowledge that we can't comprehend. And I can understand why they wouldn't want to communicate with us. We're the only species on the planet that can't get along with each other.
Well, this is the subterranean base, and we're talking about that up in northern New Mexico. What's the story about the guys in the Black Berets? Who are they?
They were supposed to have been a firefight at Dulce back in the 70s when they were drilling down vertically to get down to the lower levels. And when they broke through one of the rooms, they came upon a colony of what they call Greys, an alien species, who had some device on their chest that shot radar or shot lasers of some kind at people. And there were brown berets involved. And I understand there was something like 64 brown berets killed. A brown beret being an FBI beret, not army or military, but actually FBI. And Ralph Schneider was one of the guys that was involved. He got hit. He developed cancer and was fairly sick for some time. And then they found him dead in his apartment with a piano wire wrapped around his neck. Said he committed suicide. You can't commit suicide on yourself with a piano wire.
It'd be pretty painful.
Painful and impossible. That's right.
Well, we've got a good audience here. Make me some noise so people know that I'm not making this up. Okay, thank you very much. Dennis, what project are you working on now that you've got to let us in on a little scoop here?
Well, I'm currently working with the Pyramid Association. We're doing some research there trying to determine if the pyramids are in fact Egyptian or maybe not. And we have one or two new witnesses we're working on, obtaining freedom information requests and other documents as we can get them.
You don't believe they were built by the Egyptians?
No. The three pyramids of Giza and the Sphinx in Egypt, particularly the Sphinx, it has deterioration by water, not by sand and wind. And there hasn't been water in that part of the world for over 15,000 years, which predates the Egyptian civilization. There was a civilization in North Africa known as Kemetians, and we understand they had contact with star people. It's possible they got technology from them, and the pyramids could have been built by them. So that's something we're looking at. Joe Parr went up and spent two nights on top of the Great Pyramid a few years ago with some equipment, and he is convinced that the pyramid is not a tomb for a pharaoh, but is rather an energy machine. And we're looking into the possibilities of that being true.
Now, here at your exhibit, you have some tapes, and why don't you tell our audience a little bit of what are on these tapes?
Well, I have four areas of research that I do, primarily the 1947 Roswell incident. I do underground bases. Because of my civil engineering background, I want to know how they built these tunnels and what they use them for and what's going on under our feet. And I do Area 51 up in Nevada, which is a secret base that hasn't existed since 1955, according to the government. We found out about it through a Russian satellite picture. The American public pays for the place, but yet they're told that nothing is there. And then the Egyptian pyramids. So I have four areas that I really concentrate on.
Okay, now we're talking with Dennis Balthizer, and he's a UFO researcher. This is Jerry Pippin. We're live at the International UFO Museum. and research center, and that's quite a research center back there in the library.
It really is, and people need to come here just to go through the research center because they have one-of-a-kind books, they have documents, and they're archiving them now to preserve them so that they'll be here for a future. They take sighting reports. There's all kinds of things that take place back in the research center.
Does anybody have a question for Dennis?
Whitley Strieber. Any of his name and the ilk, that any comments? I'll let him.
He wants to know a little bit about what you think about Whitley Strieber.
Whitley Strieber was master of ceremonies for the 50th anniversary in 1997. He was our keynote speaker. He was here with Bud Hopkins and Dr. Mack and all those. So I met Whitley and know him. He definitely experienced something. I don't know what he experienced, but he did experience something. And he did a lot for exposing this back in the late 90s to help get the word out and get on national television and start doing some of the stuff he did. He's got some excellent books out in Communion and a few other books, but Whitley does good work.
What was your name?
Anthony Satriano.
And where are you from?
Denver.
Colorado. Oh, we're going to get Santa Barbara in on the action after all.
You say the Vatican has the largest information on UFOs. Is it open to anybody? Or how
the Vatican gets it the same way we do, through donations and going out and getting it. But you're not going to get into it, I can assure you. But the Vatican has, right now, they have in Arizona a telescope, and they're building another one.
Funded everything? It's all
for it. The Catholic Church is very interested in space. Just recently, one of the Monsignors from the Vatican went public, and it was on the internet. He says the Vatican view right now, he said there is probably life in space.
Isn't that against all their religious views?
No. If you read the Bible has a lot of references about ufology. The book of Ezekiel talks about the fiery flying wheels. What were they talking about? I mean, there's a lot of references in the Bible. I'm Southern Baptist. I feel it's just like that. Religion and ufology goes hand in hand. And I don't want to get into religion, but if there is a God and he created everything there is, then why isn't there something else out there? I think it's pretty egotistical to think that you're the only thing in the universe.
Now, Dennis, if I showed up at the Vatican and I said I wanted to see their UFO research library, would they admit it was there?
Probably not. Probably not.
How do you know it's there?
Through people that we've talked to that have seen it and have been there.
Actually, let us see what's in there, you think? I mean, it might lead to something they don't want us to...
I can't say that for a fact. I don't know that they wouldn't let you in, but I would really doubt that they would, because that kind of information would have to be kept pretty well undercover. But I don't see any problem with it from a religious standpoint.
Telescopes, that's amazing. Over here?
One in Arizona, very close to here, as a matter of fact. Thanks, Santa Barbara. Anybody else have a question?
Rich.
Where are you from?
Alamogordo. I just wonder if you ever talked to Bob Lazar and if any of the things that he said, if they were truthful or not, or if you felt like he was telling the truth.
Bob Lazar from Las Vegas fame.
Bob Lazar is known best for his talk about back engineering a craft at Area 51 at Papoose Lake in S4. I would like to believe Bob Lazar. Really, I would like to believe Bob Lazar, but I can't. And the reason I can't, we cannot verify any of his education claims. He did work at Los Alamos National Lab, but not in physics. He was a technician. Now, the government may have done that. The government could put him in the phone book as a technician, and he may be a physicist. The government can change identities like that. If they don't want you to be what you are, they can change you to something else and relocate you. But Bob has had a really, really questionable past. He's been involved with things out in Las Vegas that got him in trouble. He has a rocket car, which he does have. He built. But his claims at Area 51 are a little bit on the far-fetched side. And I've talked to physicists who have talked about his design of physics. He goes so far, but he doesn't take it far enough. And when he talks about the elements and things like that, he's talking about stuff that really doesn't jive with what is known in physics. I'd like to believe him. I really would. But I can't yet.
Anybody else have a question?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Robert Hernandez. I'm from Linwood, Washington. I was curious, what do you think Area 51 really is? Can you give me a description? You got an idea, or have they done any research, or have you done any research on that?
Please. I can tell you what Area 51 was set up for. It was originally set up in 1995. Not by the military, by the CIA. And it was set up to test fly the U-2 aircraft, the spy plane. They were doing the spy plane. They were designing it and building it out in the Skunk Works and out at Edwards Air Force Base. Most of the planes that they tested were done out at Edwards. this was so secretive they needed a new place. So they looked at 12 sites. They picked Groom Lake up in Nevada, next to the Nevada test site, and they used that for testing the U-2. Today there's two runways there. One is 30,000 feet. That's 6 miles of paved runway. Now they're bringing something in at a tremendous velocity to need 30,000 feet to stop it. If you brought in two space shuttles from opposite ends without brakes, when they stopped, they'd be a mile apart. So they have something they're bringing in with tremendous velocity. All airplanes since then, the U-2, the SR-71, the A-10, the A-12, the B-1, the B-2, the F-117 Stealth, have all been test flown at Area 51. It's the size of Connecticut, 22 levels below ground. Papoose Lake has 7 levels below ground. We believe the 4th level contains captured UFOs. It's my opinion that the bodies and the debris from the Roswell incident in 1947 were taken to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. Today they're probably at Area 51. The security is like nothing else in the world. It's patrolled by guards who wear uniforms without any insignia. They used to use Grand Cherokees, now they use Ford and Chevy pickups. First two numbers on the license plate or the government plates are the year of the truck. If it says 99, it's a 99 model truck. They're paid by Wackenhut. If you fly near the area, the control tower is Dreamland. They'll tell you one time to turn around. If you don't turn around, you're met by an F-16. And if you're anywhere close to the perimeter, you can be met by the camo dudes or you can be met by a black helicopter gunship. There's no fence around the base. And like I say, it's the size of Connecticut. No fence around it, but every so often they have a sphere on a pole. If you cross that and get to the guard shack, which is a quarter mile inside the boundary, you're going to look at about 3 days of interrogation, a fine, and they'll know where you're at for the rest of your life. The secrecy is unbelievable. But it's a catch-22 place. We need it. Because if we're going to have a place to develop new technology, aircraft, stuff like that, that's it. But if there's UFOs there or aliens, we want to know that for our future.
I keep hearing rumors that some of those extraterrestrials might be alive there.
There was a rumor that one of them here in Roswell was still alive, and we had heard that it lasted 6 months or a year and then died. We don't know that for a fact, but we did hear that in the Roswell crash there were 4 bodies and 1 was alive and 3 were dead.
Dennis Balthizer, thanks for being with us. Let's give your website a plug. We have a link there on our website, jerrypippin.com. It's Truth Seekers at Roswell.
Truthseeker at Roswell.com.
One word, and it's seeker, not seeker.
Seeker. S-E-E-K-E-R.
Always a pleasure to have you on the air with me, Dennis.
My pleasure.
Thank you.